This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Wild overreactions to the Boston Celtics' first preseason game. All hail Peyton Pritchard! Right now on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Millies, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales. I'm your host here for you Monday through Friday. Yep, daily podcast for you. If you're new, that's how we do it over here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, a Monday through Friday show. So please subscribe. Those of you who already have, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. You have made this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and I very much appreciate it. Today, the whole podcast is reactions to the Celtics' preseason loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. It was a 108-99 loss that no one cares about as far as the score goes, but plenty of things on first glance that you want to react to in this one. So in the first segment, I'll talk about Peyton Pritchard, who is the story of this game. Jeff Teague, who was the leading scorer, I'll talk about him in the second segment, along with Robert Williams and some other guys. I'm going to save Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for last. They're actually like the least interesting parts of this, but a couple of things that I thought were interesting. Let's kick it off with Peyton Pritchard. 16 points on 6 of 10 shooting in 21 and a half minutes. What a debut for Peyton Pritchard. It was a nice debut. He did some nice things. And I said how many times that I want to see it. I want to see it from Peyton Pritchard. I want to see what he's got. Let's kind of show me why Danny Ainge was so happy to draft you. And this is a good start. This is exactly what I would say I'm looking for a debut in a preseason game. He hit his shots. I don't care necessarily that they came mostly in the second half, that 14 of his points came in the second half when Philly's kind of bench units and, you know, non-Embiid units were in there. He still hit the shots. You know, it's in your first taste of basketball. He hit the shots. That's nice. I was more impressed the fact that he moved the ball, except for like his first basket, which was a little bit of dribbling and a fadeaway to his right, but he moved the ball. You can see the energy. You can see the pace of play. You can see why that tenacity. He was really trying to communicate on defense. You see him like really calling out switches, trying to do the right thing. Plenty, as Brad Stevens said after the game, plenty on film for him to work on. But I thought that as far as looking for things from a guy, you didn't know what he was going to give. Thought, okay, the mostly positive. So the negatives, defensive deficiencies a little bit, where he obviously needs time. You know, but he obviously is a little smaller, so he has to compensate for that. But the energy was there. The awareness, I think, was mostly there. He had four rebounds, a couple of assists to go with this, just 2 turnovers, positive things. So I joked around with the Peyton Pritchard Hall of Fame Photoshop on Twitter, and I thought the reactions were great. People are having fun with the Peyton Pritchard thing. So a nice debut. I thought certainly worth kicking off this podcast by shouting out Peyton Pritchard. Now, do it again. Just do it again and do it again and then again and then again. So it'd be foolish for me to say that he's going to average 16 points a game in the regular season. But hey, it's better than him coming out here and looking lost. So a nice performance from him. I liked basically everything that I saw for a debut at the NBA level. Great. Aaron Nesmith was solid too. I was looking for things about like how did he operate in space, and yeah, I saw a couple things. I mean, he seemed to move well. He that offensive rebound that he got was a nice offensive rebound and put back part of his 8-point performance. He actually had a couple of offensive rebounds. We had that one putback with the and one. Nice. I mean, that's, you talk about awareness, being on the floor, understanding where everybody is. That's a nice play. He wasn't standing there. He actually was active in doing something. He didn't shoot particularly well, but he did have a couple of moments there. He had a nice 3-pointer. He grabbed 5 rebounds. He had an assist. Some issues defensively where he did get one block, but he got like roasted, but then he recovered for the block. So I don't think right now he's in a position to make a big impact, but clearly we'll see that he'll find his way to get some shots. He played, how many minutes did he play? 19 minutes. He took 8 shots, 5 3-pointers. I feel like those are going to fall. Neither Pritchard nor Nesmith was shy about shooting. They do not lack confidence in their shot. That's good. I'd much rather have somebody dial it back than try to draw it out of them. You know, I'd rather see somebody go out there and take too many shots and be like, okay, in these particular cases, you might want to pass, work the ball around. That is so much easier than getting someone out of the mentality of pump fake, stand there. It's much, much easier to dial back the aggression. So good for them for taking their shots and not being afraid to take their shots. Like I said earlier this week, I don't think that Nesmith missing shots means much. I think that him missing shots is just missing shots. It's going to happen. But he got to the line, was it just that once? He did a couple of other things. Positive debut. He's going to need some work defensively. I think within the switching and the moving around, I think he can probably fly around a little bit better. Isolating him and taking him off the dribble is where he's going to be his weakest. So, but again, I didn't see somebody who was lost out there. And that would be the scary part. The scary thing, it's just like Summer League, where the positive performances, they're nice. And we always have a tendency to get wrapped up in these positive performances. Positive performances don't mean as much right now for them as negative performances do. The positive performances, you're like, okay, good. You're supposed to do well. The negative performances are like, oh, ugh, okay, that's a real struggle. Why did you struggle so bad? So, good, positive things from the rookies. The last thing I want to talk about in this segment before moving on is just Marcus Smart, and I wrote about this on Mass Live. Marcus Smart diving, going nuts. I just thought, watching Marcus Smart take 2 big offensive fouls, and not just like flopping offensive foul, like Tobias Harris ran right through him. Joel Embiid ran right through him. Those are 2 not small guys, especially Embiid. And Marcus Smart just stood there and got trucked. And you're like, gah, man, do you really have to be doing this, Marcus? And then in the third quarter, after hitting a shot, he made a great steal, running, catching up to Ben Simmons, running up the court, slapping the ball away, sliding, diving for the loose ball, getting it up to Javonte, who finished on the break with a dunk. Awesome play. Awesome play. Would be one of the highlights of the season if this was actually, you know, the season. But preseason, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Just pull the volume back down to like 8. Don't have it at 10 all the time. But I asked the guys after the game. I asked Brad Stevens and Peyton Pritchard and Jeff Teague, who all spoke to the media. And it was basically like, well, yeah, Brad Stevens, like, that's who he is. You're not going to tell him to not be who he is. Because I asked Brad directly, I'm like, do you celebrate the fact that he does this? Or do you, like, chastise him and say, okay, can we just not, you know, ratchet it down a little bit? And he's like, nah, he's going to be who he is. That's just who he is. And Jeff Teague was like that too. He's like, this is who he is in practice. This is how he plays. Marcus Smart's a maniac. So I had to mention that at the beginning because he's going to get himself killed out there. But hey, look, leadership is what it is. And as I wrote, he leads by being vocal and by his actions. And he does both of those loudly. That's who Marcus Smart is. Even his actions are loud. And you're either going to keep up with Marcus Smart or you're going to get left behind. And that's, if anything, you come out of this saying, you know, the inclination is to say, dial it back, like I was saying. But really, when you look at it from their perspective, you say, Peyton Pritchard sees Marcus Smart going out there and doing this. Aaron Nesmith sees Marcus Smart going out there and doing this. I mean, Marcus Smart is like the leader of this team. He's the most tenured Celtic. And he's out there. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. I think everybody would understand if he didn't. It's just, all right, just make the business decision. Get out of Embiid's way. Let him finish the dunk. Get out the other end. People would understand that. No problem. Nope. Marcus Smart, getting ready for the season. Slide in there. Take the charge. Scary as hell, but you got it. You just got to hand it to the guy. That's how he plays. That's how he wants other guys to play. And that's the example he's going to set. And if another guy on the team, a rookie, a veteran, anybody, decides not to do that, he's the guy that can go up to that player and be like, hello, you know, we work hard over here. On my teams, we take those charges. On my teams, we die for those loose balls. That's the Marcus Smart experience. It's a wild one, that's for sure, but that's what it is. Up next, Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague led the Celtics in scoring. We'll talk about him and my impressions of Robert Williams. That's next. Now, I get stressed sometimes watching these games. I'm very happy to have headspace now where I can get my stress relief and get it quickly. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, mine, yours, this is a stressful time of year. Family stuff, holiday stuff, Headspace can really help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed by all of that? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Do you need help falling asleep? I certainly do sometimes. Headspace has wind down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditation for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. A reminder, on Fridays I'm doing a mailbag. And now I usually ask you to email me at Mass Live, but this is my last week at Mass Live. So email me on my at my website, john@johncorrales.com. Send me the email, john@johncorrales.com. I'm going to do one more mailbag on Mass Live, still do the mailbag podcast here, and then from there on, I'll take the mailbag with me wherever I go. That will be something for later. But right now, you can email me, john@johncorrales.com. Continuing from the preseason game, Jeff Teague, of all people, led the Celtics with 18 points on 4 of 4 shooting from 3, 7 of 9 overall. That's basically all he did. No rebounds, one assist, didn't get to the free throw line, couple of turnovers, but basically he shot the ball. But what's funny is, at one point I wrote in my notes early on where he was getting roasted defensively. He is not going to stop anybody defensively. And I was like, should the Celtics have kept Brad Wanamaker? I just jotted that note down. And then he proceeded to hit 4 threes. He's never hit more than 4 threes in an NBA game. It's too bad that it didn't count. But if he's going to shoot like this, I mean, yeah, 100% from 3. You want to shoot that this season? By all means, Jeff Teague, go for it. He can step up. And if you're looking for the silver lining to the Jeff Teague thing, he is a guy that can do this. If he's going to have the space to operate, then he can score. He can be a scoring punch off the bench. He's not going to be a defensive stopper. That's not going to happen. So I don't know what the trade-off is. I mean, is he going to be the guard version of Enes Kanter? I don't know. I'm not gonna go into like single game plus minus of a preseason game, but he was on the floor for some of the lesser offensive performances for the Celtics. So just one preseason game. It does demonstrate how he can impact the team. It does show that maybe with space, he can be a little bit more of a spot up shooter. And so I still think that you want him as your backup, but this is the first kind of evidence where that lineup that I was asked about that I hated, where you have Marcus Smart and Jeff Teague in the starting lineup. Well, I'm not ready to change my position on that just yet, but this was one strike of the hammer against it, against, you know, me breaking, you know, that position. And I'm certainly not ready to move, but you have the first tick of evidence that says, well, if Teague is spotting up and he can shoot, maybe having him as a spot up shooter and having Tatum as your 3 and Brown as your 4 and a center of either Tice or Tristan Thompson, you say, well, a spot up guy like Teague, if he's out there with that experience, maybe Peyton Pritchard can give us minutes off the bench. Maybe that's, I'm not there. But if you're collecting evidence that for now, a Marcus Smart, Jeff Teague backcourt would work, this is one drop in that bucket. And we're going to have to wait to see what the evidence presents as we get into Friday and next week to see, can something like that work? I don't think that's going to be the way the Celtics go. But Teague was good from three. Robert Williams was an interesting guy. I thought he was okay. I give him a C+ for this. It is not a failing grade. It's fine. I don't think he showed a ton that was great. He caught some lobs for sure. I mean, he finished with, let's see, 4 of 5 shooting, 8 points, missed a couple of free throws, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, a block, 1 vicious monster block. But, you know, not really a factor. And he was playing against Joel Embiid. So what kind of, this is not the right matchup for him out there. This is not a game I think we would normally see him play. So I don't want to hold it against him. But what I didn't see was a completely lost defensive liability, which is good. That part is good. So it's certainly not an F. It's certainly not a D. He had moments against Embiid. Now, I think some of the moments might have been that Embiid was very willing. We're talking about Marcus Smart playing, being who he is and playing all out, balls to the wall all the time. Joel Embiid, not really willing to go there. Shot a ton. I mean, how many threes did he take? I haven't even looked at his stats. 4 3-pointers, very willing. 6 of 14 from the field. I'm going to do a quick click on his shot chart. A couple of baskets. I see 1, 2, 3 shots at the rim. 1 basically sort of in the paint. Everything else. So of the 14 shots, he had 10 shots that were outside the paint. Joel Embiid did. So Joel Embiid very kind of comfortable out there. So I'm not gonna put too much stock in this. I know I said Robert Williams needs to have like a big performance here. It was okay. Now, like, let's see what happens against Brooklyn on Friday. Is Daniel Tice going to be ready for that? Maybe. But Robert Williams will still get some run. That'll be an interesting one, because if he's backing up for Tice, then he's probably going to get a healthy dose of Jared Allen, depending on what Brooklyn does with their lineup. But that would be fun. That would be an interesting matchup. Those are two big athletic freaks. So that, I would like to see Robert Williams go up against Jared Allen. That would be a very good test for him on both ends of the floor. So he didn't do a ton, but he did, when he got space, when he rolled and he found space, he got to the rim, he caught the lobs. Great. That stuff was awesome. The passing, he did a couple of okay passes, but some mistakes as well. He did have a turnover in there, so just one. That's not too bad. It was okay. It was okay. The thing that really stood out to me, there's one moment where the Sixers had it, Embiid had it, and Embiid just kind of forced the issue. He was aggressive. And he kind of did what he wanted with Robert Williams. And then the next possession, Robert Williams, after a timeout, it was almost like he was kind of reminded, hey, make it harder for them to catch the ball. And he actually got Embiid to catch the ball further out. I think Embiid hit a jumper on that possession, but that doesn't matter. That's fine. Just getting Embiid to take those shots, that's a win in that situation. If you're playing the Sixers and Robert Williams is the starting center or has to play against Embiid and he forces Embiid to take long twos, great. That's a mission accomplished. So he was okay. He wasn't bad. He didn't make me cry. Let's see what's next. The only thing is he didn't seize anything either. So a couple other couple of other notes. Yeah, Javonte Green started. Okay, Brad Stevens, what was interesting is that Brad Stevens said that they're going to rotate that position. So it's pretty clear that Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are going to be starting. And then you're going to obviously start a big somewhere. Maybe on occasion you want to start super, super small. I don't think you want to do that. But I think your centers are going to be either Tristan Thompson or Daniel Theis. So one of those two guys. And then that fourth person, Brad Stevens, makes it seem like they're going to rotate that. So today it was Javonte Green. Then who knows? Maybe it'll be Grant sometimes. Maybe it'll be Jeff Teague sometimes. Maybe it's just going to be matchup dependent. So Javonte was there. He started. He was okay. He can fly, that's for sure. Still has hops. Not a problem. So that knee surgery that he had, clearly not impacting him. But yeah, unless the Celtics make a move, which they were hoping that they do by the trade deadline, Javonte Green's going to get his opportunities. Grant Williams was solid, pretty much solid as usual. Nothing crazy here. 5.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. My favorite move that he had was that dribble handoff where it looked like he was going to hand it off to, I forget who it was, cutting up from the corner. And he just turned the corner real quick, turned on Embiid. Embiid was a little lazy. It was a great read by Grant Williams. Fast, decisive, great move. I don't know that I saw him do that at all last season. I would have to go back and watch every one of his shots. I don't know that he had a fake dribble handoff drive to the basket once last year. If he did, I forgot about it. That was a nice move. So a little something new for Grant Williams. Just keep an eye on it. A little bit of an expanded offensive game. So, but Grant, solid, solid guy, solid player. If there was a wall there, he would have crashed through it. And he wouldn't have needed Bilt Go, but Bilt Go would have helped for sure. And it's certainly going to help you get through your wall. If it's a mental wall or a physical wall, no problem. Are you sitting there in the middle of the afternoon, ready to fall asleep at work? Are you standing there outside the gym saying, I do not want to do this? Whatever it is, get yourself a packet of Bilt Go. It's from the people who make Bilt Bar, which I love, and it's just the best workout gel on the market. It's a simple 1.5 ounce package packed with all of these awesome things to get you through that wall with 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. The energy gel works with a collagen protein that's fast absorbing. It gets into your system really fast. It's easy on your stomach, and it's loaded with beta-alanine, B3, honey, a kick of caffeine, B6 and B12 vitamins, and that collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So you're making yourself more beautiful by working out, getting through that wall, and this collagen gives you that little extra kick too. So visit BiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BiltGo.com. Let's go. Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked 2 players at each position plus 2 wild cards and 2 coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. All right, NBA fans, the Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. And I have been listening to these. I did the Locked On Celtics, Boston Celtics preview. So make sure you're tuning in. They just had the Atlantic Division on Tuesday. Make sure you're tuning in to get every division. So subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe to Locked On NBA. I saved Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for last, mostly because, did nothing. Nothing that really floated my boat. Jason Tatum got some good looks. I didn't see him forcing a lot, a couple, but a couple of assists, 5 trips to the line. That's nice. But Jason Tatum, I'm not going to put any stock into anything too crazy here. 22 minutes. It was okay. 4 of 13 shooting. Not great. Didn't hit a 3. Okay, not great. But my favorite thing was, I think it was in the first quarter, where he got a post up and he really got hit hard. He drew a foul. He got hit hard and he didn't move. Like, he had the strength to absorb that contact and go up with the ball. I mean, if there's anything that I take away from this game from Tatum, I'm like, that was nice. That muscle that he's added, that strength that he's added, that's where it shows. That he's able to get that shot and it doesn't send him flying. So that was good. That was really good to see. That he got hammered and he still had an opportunity to get his shot off. That's going to lead to a bunch of and ones, I think, during the season. The ability to get into that spot, take a shot, get that ball up onto the rim. Very Paul Pierce-esque. I mean, that's really part of Paul Pierce's game, right? Get hit, put that ball up towards the rim. Every once in a while, that's going to fall. And all of a sudden, you've got yourself a 3-point play. So, nice to see that from Tatum. Jaylen Brown couldn't hit a damn thing. 1 of 11, 1 of 5 from 3. In fact, the one that he hit was his first shot. Then he misses the next 10. So I think he tried to isolate a bit. He tried to post up a bit. Took a bunch of contested shots. You know, I came into this thinking that Jason Tatum was going to be the guy that was working on a bunch of stuff for his game. It might have been Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown might have been like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to come in and ISO and see if I can start doing some stuff off the dribble. It didn't go great. I think he dribbled himself into some contested shots, but let's see how it goes. Let's see what he's working on here. He almost ended Embiid. That monster dunk attempt on Embiid was nice. I mean, credit for going for it there. But that was one of the few times he really, really drove. He did have a couple of nice alley-oops. He had that really nice play right away early in the game where he kind of laid in wait for Danny Green to, I mean, this is, it was a bad pass, and Jaylen, kind of snuck up behind Joel Embiid, stole it, threw a nice alley-oop to Javonte Green, which was, hey, we can throw alley-oops now? Really? So Jaylen Brown, that was a nice play, nice alley-oop. Then he had a second nice alley-oop to Robert Williams later in the third quarter. That was really nice because he was driving on Dwight Howard and he really just kind of sucked Dwight Howard into his space just enough for Robert Williams to go up for the lob. And that's kind of a little of that manipulation that I was talking about with Tatum. This is the type of thing where on these pick and rolls, on these opportunities, that's just a technique where if you see the center stepping up and coming out to stop your progress, just give him that one step. The inexperienced player is probably going to want to throw that alley-oop kind of right away. Give it that extra beat like Jaylen Brown did. Take that step. Just get Dwight to take that one little more half step, lean forward. And then, boop, alley-oop. Was beautiful. So in all of what Jaylen Brown did, that assist was probably my favorite part. Still, though, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists overall. So 5 points in this game on 1 of 11 shooting. I don't care about that. But the pass there from JB to Robert Williams was fantastic. So again, little signs, little things that show progression, little things that show where the Celtics are. And that's one of those things. So everybody had a little something that was positive. I think most people have a lot of stuff that Brad Stevens talked about getting stuff on film probably 10 different times before and after this game. So congratulations. You've got a bunch of stuff on film for these guys. He said that everybody who played was going to play at least 10 minutes. He was almost correct. Taco Fall played 9:54. The other thing, Taco, by the way, just a few more notes. The Taco Fall steal at half court and attempted dribble, that was so close to working out. It did not. It went as well as you might expect for a 7.5-foot guy trying to dribble down the court and finish. But I thought for a second he would might actually pull that off, take 2 big steps, and fly in for the dunk. It was so close. Celtics turned the ball over a ton in this game. They finished with, 19? That was... They turned the ball over a million times, I felt like, in the first half. That was not a good first half, but you know, it's not too crazy, but that they really did not take care of the ball. And then I just want to say the best ball movement, I wrote down this note, third quarter, Celtics with mostly bench guys on the floor really had one of their best possessions. Aaron Nesmith missed a beautifully open, wide open 3. That would have been one of the highlights, another great highlight. Celtics, that Marcus Smart play and that play in the third quarter where they really worked the ball around. If Nesmith had hit that, it's like, wow, that would have been 2 beautiful highlights to kick off this quote-unquote season. So those are my notes. That's what I see in this game. Tomorrow, I'll be back with more analysis from this game. The Celtics are off on Wednesday, so I will take another pass through this game. I will watch it again to see some other things, and maybe I'll bring in a friend or two to talk about it with me. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I can get somebody. But more from this game tomorrow. So subscribe if you have not. Please do so. Hope you've enjoyed this show. And you regular listeners, if you haven't given that 5-star rating, if you haven't given that good written review, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you for all of the support. Thank you for buying my book. If you haven't done that, that would really help right now. So thank you all. Thank you for sharing the podcast and telling your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.